We've lionized leadership and denigrated management. And management is really what makes an organization run. That's what keeps the lights on and pays the bills. And so I don't think that one is better than the other. It's simply management is what we do and leadership is how we do it. Pre-COVID leadership, it was lazy. It was actually very, very lazy. And that's because everybody was there. We didn't have to be intentional because we were bumping into people we were going to help. And the number one things that successful leaders are doing is being intentional. If I have a goal, I'm in constant pre-failure because I'm never there, right? And then when I get there, I'm only celebrating for 10 seconds and I have another goal, so now I'm failing again. And I think that part of leading is managing other people's emotional states.
Welcome to another episode of Team Anywhere, where CEOs, leaders, and experts at building teams,
companies,
organizations,
and amazing cultures share how to lead from anywhere in the world. I'm your co-host on the East Coast, Ginny Bianco Mathis.
And I'm your co-host on the West Coast, Mitch Simon, and we invite you to join us to Team Anywhere. Hello and welcome to another episode of Team Anywhere. I'm your co-host on the West Coast, Mitch Simon, and on the East Coast, our amazing co-host, Dr. Virginia Bianco Mathis. Ginny, how are you today?
I am really good, Mitch. Thanks.
Great. And I just want to say to all of our listeners out there, this is Ginny's last co-hosting segment for who knows how long. She's going on to do some other stuff, which is also important. We're definitely going to miss her on this show.
Oh boy, I'll miss you all, but I'll be in touch.
So tell us, we have our guest here from the heartland of America. Why don't you introduce our guest and tell our audience about him?
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well, today we have the wonderful Perry Moffmer. And Perry is a chief leadership philosopher and a podcast host himself. Those folks are always a little intimidating, right, Mitch? And as we see, he speaks about many pertinent topics, including the philosophical around existentialism, but then gets into our more critical thinking, leadership mindsets, because he leads 8 different Master Vistage groups, which he will talk about. And he's founder of the Potential Leader Lab, previously was a senior partner at Synergistic Systems and adjunct professor at Franklin University. And we can go on and on with the many organizations that he has worked with. Welcome, Perry.
Oh, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Perry, I'm going to start with a question that we ask a lot of our guests. So, given this sort of social experiment that we all have been involved in for the past 2 to 3 years, what have you learned about yourself, about the people you're interacting with?
More than anything, I think it's been a testimony to resilience, adaptability, and innovation. So those would be the 3 things I noticed most. I mean, initially there's the shock, right? The, what are we going to do? And I heard, I think it was somebody, it was a professor on the West Coast at some point early on said, essentially what happened was we just had about 10 years of change compressed into 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there was the initial kind of, everybody took a step back, what's going to happen? And then everybody went forward and, you know, varying speeds. But I think resilience was the biggest thing. Everybody just, we bounce back. I mean, we're pretty good about that as humans.
Yeah, yeah. And now we're finding a little bit, oh, wait a minute, right? And that sort of some folks trying to pull back, but no, we are just full forward. So talk to us a little bit about your leadership model. And you use it in your leadership lab and also your teachings. And you call it the E3 framework. So share with us what that is all about.
Okay, so I came up with a framework because and it's for me it's important because it's descriptive and not prescriptive. So I'm never going to tell anybody how to do anything. I'm not big on steps 1, 2, and 3 and do this and you'll be successful. But I do think frameworks are powerful because people can adapt their own experiences and bring that to the table to use within the framework. And so when I looked at it, what I came up with and how when I looked back at how I did things and how I see other people doing things, I came up with this explore, experiment, evolve. And I kind of selected the words very intentionally because I think words are very important, right? Because they provide context. And so if you walk through that, explore, because we're exploring because we don't have a destination in mind. We don't know where we're going to end up. You know, so we have to open ourselves up to what the universe has for us. So we have to actively explore. And this from a leadership perspective is very important, because the leader always has to be looking ahead. What's next? What's around the corner? Never having a sense of certainty around, I know X, Y, or Z is going to happen. And then once we do explore, and we can explore situations, we can explore business models, we can explore behaviors we want to work on as a leader, then it's experimentation. And to me, that's very purposeful, because experimentation requires failure. And I think that therein lies the challenge for most leaders and businesses. We love innovation, but we don't necessarily love the emotional side of failure. And so reestablishing our kind of emotional connection to failing and being okay with it, and understanding that it's learning, right? It's because of an experimentation, we're getting data. You know, we're doing things and gathering data and then moving forward. And then lastly is evolve. And I like that over change, because change implies a lot of times something was wrong, so we needed to change, where evolution is just a path forward. And I always tell people, it's never better or worse. It's just different.
I say the same thing. I love that, Perry.
Yeah, I think we get caught up, especially with change. Like somebody's going to, you know, use the easy one, diet or exercise or something. There's always that piece of your mind. It's like, I was doing something wrong before. And I don't think that's a good place to start from, right? We have to suspend judgment if we're going to move forward, and just know that we're going to bring our best self, and we're continually evolving into that person that we envision ourselves to be.
Totally. Well, you got me hooked there a minute. A question came to mind. How do you guide leaders that I know you interact with constantly to get that same sense of evolve, not right or wrong, with their teams?
I guess the best thing I can tell you is it's a process, not an event, right? Because we can say a lot of things, and that's the biggest challenge. We can intellectually get something. I forget who it was, the quote, you know, the longest journey you ever takes 18 inches from your head to your heart, right? And so intellectually we can sit down and say, yes, this makes perfect sense. And I want to do this. But then when we actually get to that point where we have to take that risk, where we have to maybe modify the behavior and say something different or try, there's a lot of resistance internally, and understandably so. I mean, our brains are wired, you know, basically stopped developing, like, depending on what you read, 200,000 years ago. And so that's a real thing. We're wired for risk. Our brain's number one and only goal is to keep us alive so we can propagate the species, right? So everything that is risky back then is death. We don't face the same thing now, but our brains make it feel that way. So we actually feel if we fall on our face at a presentation or we say the wrong thing, it's a very real fear. And that's a challenging thing to overcome.
Definitely. Well, I'd like to go into some of the things you have said. And one of them is that you believe that we should use the words lead and manage as verbs, not nouns. Can you say a little more about that?
Sure. I believe when they turn into a job title or a role is where we get problems, right? Where we have a problem. Because if we look at them as activities, because that's what I believe that they both are, they're activities that we do. And if we look at them as activities, we can always get better. We can always evolve. We can always try new ones. We can always develop. But when it turns into who we are, like when I'm labeled myself a manager, now it's an identity. It becomes a lot harder to change identity than it does activity.
I love that. So true.
And that's where I just think that labels are dangerous. And so, and I think that once we have, and I also think there's a certain amount of, once I get the title, if the title's part of who I am, I can take my foot off the gas because I'm there. Like, that's who I am now. And I don't think there's still that same drive to continue to look out for what's new and what's changed and what can I do better or differently to positively impact the folks that I'm working with.
I love that, Perry.
So Perry, what would be then a viewpoint that someone can have in the area of leading and in managing? So instead of like, okay, I got the title of a manager, where do you go in your viewpoint of, okay, so I am managing and or I am leading. So when I wake up every day, what are my thoughts around that?
Well, I think the core of that is that you're not doing one or the other, because that's the other issue I have with those two terms. We've lionized leadership and denigrated management. And management is really what makes an organization run. Like that's what keeps the lights on and pays the bills is great management. And so I don't think that one is better than the other. It's simply management is what we do and leadership is how we do it. And so I think we need to unify those two things and understand that we should not be separating them artificially, you know, creating this dichotomy where we're trying to teach these two different things. I think it's all one. And I think it's really about what am I doing to raise other people up? Because in either one of those roles, I want to manage processes and lead people, right? And so the first thing, and to be honest with you, Mitch, the first thing I'd have to do is turn that around to myself and say, how am I leading and managing myself? Let's start with me. Let's start with me and make sure that I'm on track, that I'm, you know, because those are different, you know, management's about efficiency and leadership's about effectiveness. Am I covering both of those bases? Because, you know, I can never lead efficiently because I'm dealing with people, and I should never, people are not a problem to be solved, right? And so I need to have that opportunity to, and I think that they're different ends of a spectrum. And so I have to develop the agility to move up and down that spectrum all day long and recognize when I'm doing one and or the other, but I'm never trying to separate them and say, I can only do one or the other. There are times I'm going to manage 80% of my day is going to be, I've got to get stuff done. I've got to check stuff off the list. I've got to, you know, but we can't lose sight of the leadership opportunities, because that's really what leadership is, are those opportunities that present every day. And if we're so focused on being efficient, we miss them.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to something you really stress. You say that to generally lead, you need to care about people. So how does a leader demonstrate that, you know, and especially in the hybrid environment?
I think it's intention, right? I mean, so I think at the core of that is I have to connect. Like, and it's different for everybody. That's why I don't think it's, we can't be prescriptive. I think you have to connect in a way that you can connect with people so that they know that they trust you. Because I believe that the foundation of all leadership is trust. Because as a leader, I'm often going to ask people, if I'm leading people effectively, I'm going to ask them to stretch. I'm going to ask them to do things that are going to be what they might consider risky, you know, for their, you know, they're not going to believe they can do it. And I have to believe that you're asking me to do that for my own benefit, not for yours. And if once I believe that about you, if I believe you have my best interest in mind always, and that you figured out how to align my best interest with the company's best interest, you got me. Like, I'll run through a wall for you. And so I think that that's the connection piece, and why that people know if you care. And it isn't about, and people exhibit it in different ways, just like empathy or any other emotion. It's all about a leader understanding for themselves, somebody who does those activities, understanding themselves, being self-reflective and self-aware enough to know how they connect, and then ensuring that they can do that with each of their folks, because those people connect with you in a different way as well.
Hey, we're taking a quick break to remind you to support our podcast by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps us continue to bring you more engaging and thought-provoking content for leadership and remote work.
Well, I'm going to push you a bit. Can you give me some examples, please, of a leader who is showing that he or she cares?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I work with a lot of them, and I can tell you that I work with people who go above. I mean, and it's interesting, and here's how this plays out, because I have several that care deeply, but the perception of their team isn't the same as what I see in them, right? I know that they care deeply. They tell me that they care deeply about these people. They show that they care deeply by what they do, by investing in them and by doing certain things in the company. But the people themselves still don't feel that connection. And it's because the wall goes up, right? Because we've taught people you shouldn't bring emotions, don't belong at work. We've taught people to be about business. Like, we're trying to get goals, we're trying to make money, we're trying to do, and none of that is sustainable or scalable. What's scalable is human connection. And so when a leader, to be honest with you, the first thing they have to do is let their guard down. I mean, I love the term, you have to blink first, right? In that situation, I tell people, I'm like, leaders, you can't drag people into the deep end of the pool, but you can certainly wade out to the deep end and show them how safe it is and invite them to join you. But you have to lead with that first. Like you have to, part of your activity has to be to show them you're vulnerable. You're a human being like everybody else, because quite honestly, lots of people in companies look at the person that's leading and think, I can never do that. That person's perfect. That person's got everything. That person knows everything they're supposed to be doing. And while a leader might not propagate that on purpose, they do it by default.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So I mentioned earlier that you are a Master Vistas chair, and in fact, you have 8 different groups. Could you explain to the audience what that is, and then share with me, when you go in to organizations, what is it you do with them, right, to keep them on this journey?
Sure. Vistas groups are peer advisory groups, and so what we do at different levels in the organization. The whole power of the model is, why would you want to talk to one person when you can talk to, you know, 14 to 16 of your peers around a table and gather their insights from people who are actually doing the work just like you? And the reason it works is because of transparency and vulnerability. It's the one place all these people, and this is the big thing about being in some type of role where you're leading, is you don't often have some place you can go take the mask off, right? You're on all the time, and in your job, you have to have answers. You have to be moving forward. You have to be positive. And so this is the one time a month these folks can get together and take that mask off and show up however they want to show up and recharge and reconnect with each other. And then also reflect on, what have I done this month? And be honest with each other, because nobody there, you don't report to anybody. Nobody reports to you. You're there because for the same core reason, you want to be the best leader you can be. And so that's what happens in Vistage groups. And then how I connect with them is, typically I end up working with multiple people in the company in different types of groups. So it's really just working, to be quite candid with you, sometimes I serve as a translator. I go into meetings and I listen, and then I just make sure everybody clearly understands what everybody else said, because there's a need, you know, that need for speed. And so oftentimes somebody will say something in a meeting, everybody just kind of shakes their head in agreement and flies by. And that's where I go, hold on, time out. Did you hear that? Like, did you hear that and let it sink in? Because your response is not saying that you did. And so, you know, that's, I translate and I apply the brakes sometimes. I just slow people down a little bit so we can have better conversations.
Oh, I really like that, the translation part. And And I'm sure you do this also, given permissions that you get from the group. I also like to, you know, time out, Madam President, whomever, you had said that you wanted to be, to give clearer directions. And I just heard you say X. Rest of the group, do you understand that direction she just gave? Everyone just says no, but they never said anything, you know, et cetera, to call people on those behaviors.
And it goes back to the trust thing, right? They have to trust why I'm there. I'm only there, and I tell people this all the time, you've told me what your goals are. They're your goals. I'm not judging them. I'm gonna help you stay aligned in your actions toward those goals. And then sometimes I might ask you, is that still your goal? Because you're acting in a way that is moving you further away from that.
I know. I love that question.
So if you've changed your goals, just let me know. I'm good with whatever goals you came up with. I just want to help you stay aligned.
Yeah. My new goal is I want to act like an idiot.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Perry, in light of the show Team Anywhere, what are some of the challenges and what are some of the directions you're giving to your CEOs to continue to build trust for a workforce that is continually, is not there, is not in the room? And so I'm just interested what types of issues you're hearing at Vistage, and I understand the confidentiality, and what you see your CEOs are doing that's actually working.
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is, in light of everything that's gone on the last couple of years, I've come to the conclusion that in-person leadership, when you're in the, like pre, let's say pre-COVID leadership, it was lazy. It was actually very, very lazy. And that's because everybody was there. Like, we didn't have to be intentional because we were going to, by bumping into people, we were going to help, right? So we could overhear things. We could, and while that was awesome, it was to a certain extent made us lazy because we didn't have to be intentional. And I think to answer your question, the number one things that successful leaders are doing is being intentional. They understand that I'm not going to overhear stuff at the water cooler. I'm not going to walk by somebody's office or somebody's cube and just be able to pop in. But I can still do that activity. I just have to be intentional because they're not sitting in front of me or in the same, you know, 100,000 square foot office building. And I think that's where the activity side of leading and managing becomes really important, because I have to have a list of what are my activities today. And I can't become so immersed in my work that I forget there are other people that need me. And what am I doing to make sure that I'm available? And also, it's not their job just to, you can't be, hey, I'm available. If you need something, come to me. That's not going to work either.
Right, right.
Yeah. There has to be that, okay, what is the way I'm going to still do these activities? How am I going to pop in on people? How am I going to make sure, how am I just going to have a conversation because I bump into them and say, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? How was your weekend? So I have to work those things in, and in varying degrees, because not everybody needs the same amount of all that stuff. So I think intentionality is the biggest thing. Is I think leadership now, leading has to be intentional.
Right. And then learning what some of those new tools might be. Mm-hmm. And they become anything but lazy. I encourage everyone, and we'll give your website and contact information in a minute, to read your blog and some of your chats. And I love some of the topics that you have addressed. And there's one you called Goals Demotivate Your Team. Could you talk about what you were trying to get at in that one?
I just think we have we focus very intently on goals. And I think that at some point it can drive the wrong type of behavior, right? I think goals are important to set direction. And at that point we have to forget about the goal and focus on the activity, because goals can be challenging. Because if I keep, and there's a great article out there, it talks about if I have a goal, I'm in constant pre-failure because I'm never there, right? I'm never there. And then when I get there, I'm only celebrating for 10 seconds. And I have another goal. So now I'm failing again, right? And I think that part of leading is managing other people's emotional states. And I really love, Ben Hardy wrote a book with Dan Sullivan called The Gap in the Gain. And I love their viewpoint on I think we live in the gap. I mean, we're just so goal obsessed. That it's constantly, I hear leaders all the time, hey, you guys did a great job, but we got a long way to go, right? And I tell them, well, just leave it at the first part. What are you terrified? I think we're terrified that if we give somebody praise for how good they're doing, how good we're doing as a group, they think everybody's going to relax. And so they're just emotionally, it's almost like it's impossible for them just to go, hey, you guys are doing a great job, I really appreciate it, and then stop talking. Uh-huh. As opposed to adding but we can still do better, but we still have to do this. But tomorrow, you know, it's like that focus on the gap, like we're chasing the horizon. We're never going to get there. And see, I think that for me, it dovetails in the Cynic's work on infinite game, right? Dr. James Karst, we're applying finite rules to an infinite game. I mean, business is an infinite game. It's never going to be over. We're never going to win. But yet we constantly use those words.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, I love your ideas, and you're obviously touching a lot of people out there with your groups. Where can our audience get in touch with you?
Well, they can hit the website where the podcast is. That's potentialleaderlab.com, and they can reach me anytime. They can email me at perry@perrymoffmer.com.
Fabulous. Mitch?
Yeah, thank you, Perry. This has been great. A lot of really good leadership sound bites, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the thing I really, really enjoyed was the focus on leaders, you know, demonstrating what they care about, and then building trust by holding people to what they say they really are caring about, and having that dialogue. And the most important thing for a leader right now, in person, unintentionally or intentionally, and also. The virtual world is really having that sense that I, as a leader, really care about and are holding you accountable for what you really care about and the conversations that go on with that, and to build trust. And that is really much the job of the leader. And I love the idea that there is no separation between management and leadership. There's just the being, and you're always going, you're doing both, which I think makes it, easier on us.
It really does, doesn't it, Mitch?
Not make these distinctions. So Perry, thank you so much. Really enjoyed having you on the show. Ginny, thank you so much. Really enjoyed having you on the last 160 shows.
Yes.
And we are all going to miss you. So Perry, it's great that you were here in our last episode. And we want to, at this point, say, please share this episode with your friends, your family, your colleagues. And we look forward to seeing you next time on the next episode of Team Anywhere. Before we sign off for today, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us grow, and by subscribing, you'll be the first to know when our exciting next episode is available.